Welcome to You Can't Make This Up, a companion podcast from Netflix. I'm Ashley Allman, your host for this week's episode. Every other week, we discuss a different Netflix series or film with special guests, and all of the stories are surprisingly true. This week, we're revisiting the hit docuseries American Vandal in anticipation of the second season, which just launched. Journalist Lauren Lopez will be speaking with documentary wonder kids Peter Maldonado and Sam Eklund. If you've seen the first season but need a quick recap, season one follows the events of a massive phallic vandalism at Hanover High in Oceanside, California. The school wrongly accused and expelled senior Dylan Maxwell, but sophomores Peter and Sam got out their cameras to document the case and ultimately bring about justice for Dylan. In season two, Peter and Sam tackle a new school and new vandal, the turd burglar. And you know what? Lauren, Sam, and Peter can tell you more about it. Let's get to the interview.
Hi, everyone. I am Lauren Lopez, and I am so excited to be joining the creators of the strangely addictive, totally captivating Netflix docudrama, American Vandal. You guys, thank you so much for joining me. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
So, like everyone else in the world, I was completely blown away by American Vandal. I was like, a whole show about penises. Okay. I was like, that'll be funny for 5 minutes, but it actually was so captivating. I got totally sucked in by the story and the true mystery of it.
A lot of people felt that way. A lot of people were like, what is this, thinking that it's a show about dicks? But it's not a show about dicks.
Right.
It's about justice and, you know, exposing that. So yeah.
Yeah, we found that once people actually got into the show, they realized how captivating and intricate the crime was. Yeah. And I think it sort of, you know, sparked from there.
Yeah,
totally.
For a lot of people.
Totally. And I think it really spoke to everyone. So I want to say congratulations on the success of everything. I mean, going from this high school documentary to a huge Netflix hit. Yeah. How does it feel to be so successful at such a young age? I mean, you're basically the Sarah Koenigs of Netflix. Right?
Yeah, it feels pretty great.
Sorry, that shook me for a second. I love Sarah Koenig.
Yeah.
You know, it's all so surreal and really humbling and it's been a crazy, crazy ride. We did not expect this. We didn't even set out to be documentarians.
Not at all.
No.
We've been making movies for a long time since we were like, what?
Like since middle school. Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the Dylan story, it was weird. It was like we were at the right place at the right time. And it's a story that we, type of story that we also like telling, a story about injustice and all this stuff. So we felt like we could use our techniques and our tools to maybe help, you know, make some change.
And it was really cool because it just sort of, you know, fell into our laps. It was happening right at our school where we were, and we were already, you know, in the process of filmmaking, and, you know, we thought this would be a really interesting challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how lucky for you that, you know, 27 dicks were drawn while you just happened to be there.
I know. It was like a dream come true.
Yes. Really, truly, for anyone. So season one ended a little ambiguous.
Did it?
Yeah, I think we gave a pretty strong suggestion as to who we think did it.
Hmm. You mean Krista Carlisle? Or?
Well, here's the thing about that.
Yeah,
is that
I don't know if we can say it.
Well, we shouldn't, because we'd be no better than the school board if we were to do that. You know, one of the bigger ideas and topics of our docuseries is that, you know, we're examining the justice system in the U.S. and everyone in this country has a right to have a fair trial and is supposed to be innocent until proven guilty.
Although, but it doesn't always play out that
exactly.
way.
It doesn't always play out that way. And we saw that so clearly with Dylan Maxwell, that he was guilty until proven innocent. And he wasn't given a fair trial. They just, you know, they convicted him on his reputation alone. Hmm. So we would be no better than the school board if we were to make similar accusations about someone else. Although, we feel more than strongly confident that it is who we think it is.
Krista Carlisle. So she did it? Okay, I'll take that as an affirmative. Yes, there we go. Okay.
I mean, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She looked pretty guilty to me, but we'll move on. You know, as much as people loved this docuseries, you also came under a little bit of heat. You know, people thought the story was exploitative of Dylan and your classmates. How do you react to that kind of negative feedback?
Peter, you want to take this one? I feel like handle it better than I do.
It's hard as documentarians to, you know, to ride that fine line between, you know, exposing, you know, things about certain people and, you know, and because we are. We even experienced it ourselves. We turned the cameras on ourselves and
yeah.
we investigated
each
other.
We tried to make it as fair as possible. I mean, we did, you know, go into each other's personal lives
right.
and expose certain things that I wish you hadn't have done, Peter.
Yeah, but it was a good learning lesson for
it
us.
It was,
because
and I'm over it. Okay.
But it was a good learning lesson for us because it taught us, you know, and it showed us exactly what we were putting our subjects through, how much we really are exposing people's secrets and how, you know, delicate we have to be with that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a hard line to kind of ride, but you know, it's all in the name of justice.
Right.
So, we're not doing it frivolously. We're not just, you know, exposing, you know, or, you know, whole segment about somebody because just because. It's for our investigation. So there was always a motive with it. It was never just frivolous.
Good. And I think you can tell that as a viewer, we can see that it's all driving toward a bigger purpose.
Yeah.
So in the trailer, you kind of touch on the pressures of living up to the success of the first season when you're going into season two. What kept you humble and focused, you know, amidst the great popularity of this show?
Yeah. That's a good question. We just focused on our crime and kind of stuck to our art of what we do. You know, we're documentarians, we're journalists, so we kind of just stick to that. And it was more so of a humbling experience seeing the
Pete's
reaction.
real humble guy.
Ooh.
All right.
Wow.
All right, Sam.
Well, glad to see your friends.
Best of friends.
So did your critics influence any of your story decisions when you're thinking about your next project or moving forward?
No.
Yeah, we tried to, you know, not let the critics influence us too much because we're terrified of the critics.
Yeah.
They'll find anything to harp on. But no, for our next project for season two, actually, we've looked at a lot of crimes. We had a lot of submissions from people that watched season one. A lot of them were just more things about dicks, or there was actually a vagina vandal at some school.
Vagina vandal in Virginia.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
A Virginia vagina vandal?
Yeah.
Wow.
It would have been a good season, too, but I think that's a little, you know, a little too...
And there wasn't, again, it's not even about vaginas, it's about the crime. And
right.
It wasn't anything.
It wasn't a very interesting crime, I think, in my opinion. Yeah. But then there was also crazy stuff, like someone asked us to investigate a murder.
An actual murder. Someone thought that we could handle a murder. I don't know, I didn't want to get my hands in.
I feel
in
like
that.
A murder would be too easy.
Yeah.
You know, we need something like the season two premise that we have.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Great. So let's transition to talking about season two. Now, first of all, I was overjoyed to see that my fave Ming Zhang was involved in season two. And I know he wasn't, you know, on camera, but he is credited with additional photography.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah, yeah. He took a cinematography class over the summer and he's gotten really good. He's been making a lot of great short films, short docs and stuff like that. So we thought it'd be great to have him with us in Washington.
Also, wow. It's Ming. Everyone loves Zing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was great to have him along,
yeah.
A familiar face while we were in Bellevue.
Oh, yeah, and he is such a cutie patootie.
Yeah.
Okay. So season two takes place at a brand new school. So it's not Hanover High. You're in a new school with a new crime. What was that like?
Yeah,
it was different, for sure.
Oh, yeah, it was very different. This crime took place in a Catholic school in Bellevue, Washington.
St. Bernardine's.
And what happened was that somebody contaminated the school lemonade that everybody in the school drinks, which, you know, made a lot of people defecate themselves pretty badly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
sorry, it's not funny.
It's a little bit funny.
And someone was actually claiming that they did this.
Mm.
They were taking credit on social media.
Right, by the name of the turd burglar.
They were tagging victims. They were posting so-called evidence to their Instagram account, all under an anonymous mask.
Yeah, that goes by the name of the turd burglar. It was tagging all the victims of the crimes and in photos and stuff that people had posted online.
Now, you said crimes, so there were multiple crimes or multiple vandalisms?
Yes.
Yes, this was not a one-time poop joke.
Yeah.
This was a serial poop joker.
Well, a serial vandal.
Serial vandal.
Huh.
And they're less jokes than crimes, but they are slightly jokes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a poop pinata,
right.
A poop launcher.
Wow. So just basically different modes of getting poop to many different people.
Right. And the turd burglar just kept striking and striking and striking. So this person really, their motive.
And all the while intimidating the school or poking the bear, asking them, try and find me. She wanted to get away with this, and they thought they could by intimidating everyone through social media and really kind of aggravating people to try and come after him.
And that was one of the most interesting things to me that sparked my interest in this crime, is that this turd burglar was saying, come and find me. Where usually people, you know, don't want to be found, but this person wanted to be discovered. So the psychology behind that and understanding what their motives are and why they would do something like this and would want to attack the entire student body, not just one person, but the entire student body. And to the level that they did, I mean, people went to the hospital. Like, this was a serious, and that's part of the reason why we were, you know, in with the recreations that we did this time around, we were pretty graphic and pretty vivid because you need to understand what these people went through.
Right. Because,
you know, it is poop, but it's very serious. Sorry. And it's very dangerous, too. You know, the whole contamination thing. But you don't know if somebody was allergic to the...
To poop.
No, but to what they put in the lemonade, you know, or whatever the person put in the lemonade. You know, you don't know. Like, that could have been really bad. The turd burglar is lucky. Nobody died.
Poop going around is not sanitary.
Yeah.
True. Right.
That also.
Right. Is that why people went to the hospital? Was it from pooping too much? Or
most likely. Okay. Yeah. There were a lot of different cases. There were people who got contaminated. There were people who were affected by it directly. People who couldn't breathe. People with asthma. Yeah. People with all sorts of problems.
People who couldn't stop pooping. That was a big one.
There was one kid.
I felt so bad for that kid. Oh, God.
Like 3 or 4 days straight.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He drank a lot of lemonade.
Yeah.
Wow. So how did you find this story?
Submissions.
Yeah, so right. Chloe Lyman, we have it in an email set up where people can submit, you know, crimes and leads to us. And so this story came to us. Chloe Lyman contacted us about this turd burglar. And what caught me about this crime and about her story out of all the other, you know, submissions we got was the fact that she was best friends with Kevin McLean, who was expelled for the crimes. And she was saying that he didn't do it. And I'm not going to give too much away, but with what she said to me, it really rang true to me. And then so when I contacted her back and I got a bunch more information on the crime and everything that happened, and she sent me all this archival footage, and it was pretty clear to me that we had something here. So we headed out to Bellevue.
So why did the school think that Kevin McLean did this?
Well, first off, they were under a lot of pressure from the school board, the parents, the
community.
Sort of the community, everyone, to find out who did this. And when they didn't have any leads and they didn't have, you know, anywhere to go, they just went with whatever fit. And if it didn't fit, then they tried to make it fit. And that's
what happened with Kevin. He actually confessed.
He confessed.
Yeah, he confessed. Yeah. But, and that's the thing, is... 1 in 4 people who are exonerated by DNA evidence were convicted on a confession. So false confessions are very common. Mm. So he had given a confession, and just like Sam just said, the school board was really under a lot of heat and a lot of pressure from everybody to name a vandal and to put an end to this, because the school is a very high profile school with, you know, an amazing basketball team and you know, great education. They have a really big name. So this really was tainting their reputation and you know, could possibly, you know, people could, you know, remove funding from the school, which would be a big deal to them.
Right.
Take their kids out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So they were under a lot of pressure to find who this vandal was and eventually sneaked one out of Kevin McLean, at least from our opinion.
Wow. And so was Kevin McLean kind of like a Dylan from season 1, you know, like a class clown and mischievous?
In certain aspects, just in the way that, you know, the school board sort of pegged him into a hole to, you know, meet what they needed for to expel him or to, you know, get him in trouble. But in not many other ways, no. Kevin was not like a class clown. He didn't goof around a lot. You know, he pretended to be smarter than he really was, and he put on, you know, a big show. He's a little odd, I'll say that. But other than that, he's a sweet kid, and they really sort of just kind of dug him into a hole.
So he had no beef with the administration? Nothing?
None whatsoever. Wow. And that's also part of the thing that's so scary, is that anyone is vulnerable to the justice system. And that's another thing that I've learned with, you know, been making documentaries, me and Sam especially picked up on, is that everybody has a motive.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is trying to save their butts and throw other people under the rug to save themselves. And that's part of the reason why we believe what happened with Kevin, is that, you know, the police didn't want to, you know, get in, you know, they didn't want people to pull money from the school, and the police were under pressure. They had motives.
Right.
So you kind of have to look at everybody and remain biased with solving crimes.
Right. Now, especially in the first episode, there are a lot of shots of fecal matter. It's you know, poop on poop on poop. So how many meetings did you have, or what was the discussion there, and where to pull back? How much poop is too much poop?
I fought for the poop.
Yeah.
Because, one, poop is funny.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and two, you've got to really understand the severity of these crimes. I mean, if it makes you a little sick to look at it, imagine what these people went through experiencing it.
Right. So it's almost making everyone more empathetic to what's going on.
Yeah, you gotta.
I felt it, we'd be doing it a disservice by kind of censoring it.
Mm. And you have some recreations of some of the, you know, just explosions of poop that happened in this docuseries. what did they use to recreate the actual fecal matter?
I think Ming actually came up with
that. Yeah, Ming came up with a concoction
that was very realistic.
Ming.
I think it was, wasn't it soy-based?
It was soy-based.
Or clay.
Chocolate something.
I'm not sure.
I believe it was edible, actually.
Yeah.
Wow, so Ming not only did additional photography, but he also created props.
Yeah, our special effects team was having a little bit of trouble with that.
Yeah, along with now that season two, you know, is owned by Netflix, and they're really helping us out here, they did a lot of the stuff with the recreations once we, you know, put our cut together.
Yeah.
They wanted to add an extra touch, and I think they did a really good job.
Oh, wow. It was beautiful. Our director of photography, it was actually the first time we'd ever been on a real set, because we're always, you know, in the field, you know, interviewing people and in our boardroom and
usually
stuff like
that. Usually it's just us two and a camera.
Right.
And so, this time we had a lot more.
Our whole crew, it was really cool. So thanks, Netflix.
Thanks, Netflix. And thank
you,
Ming.
And thank you, Ming.
But it was beautiful, the way our director of photography executed that. It was the shots are just, oh my God.
Oh, I mean, it is gorgeous.
Oh my
especially
God.
Those
even
shots.
The ones about poop.
Yes.
Well, they're all about poop.
Yeah,
well,
but right. Like the ones like specifically, about it's like ew, and also like, wow.
But
beautiful.
So artfully done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did it with good taste.
Mm, gorgeous. Gorgeous. Never thought I'd say that about poop, but what can I say? The poop in this is gorgeous. At what point during production on this did you think, and pardon the term, oh shit, you know, I think we really have something here?
You know, it was different because with our first crime, we didn't really have much to start with. Although we did know everybody at the school, there wasn't, you know, when we came into our second crime, there was all this archival footage and all this stuff. So that was really when we said, like, oh shit, there's something here.
It was really exciting to see that archival footage because, you know, it was all sort of there for us, and we had to play a little bit of catch-up, and it was a fun challenge. But it felt nice to sort of have the facts laid out in front of us already to build off of.
Or so we thought.
Or so we thought.
Right?
And that's when I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Now, DeMarcus Tillman, big name in college basketball. I mean, he was kind of a player in this whole...
He was a big part of this.
Yeah. I don't really want to get too much into this. I just want you guys to watch it. But he's a star. He is the star of St. Bernardine Catholic High School. He's an amazing athlete, and everyone loves him. And, yeah, he's really popular, and he has something to do with the crime. So I kind of want to leave it at that. I don't want to give too much away.
Great. Well, I guess we can just leave it at watch it.
Yeah, watch it.
Yeah,
watch
please.
It.
Yeah. Or don't. We don't care.
But... Sam.
No, I'm joking. We care. Please watch.
Yeah. Please watch.
Yeah. If nothing else for Ming Zhang's additional.
If you want a season three.
Yeah. Please watch.
Watch
or at
our
least
show.
Put it on so Netflix thinks you're watching it.
Right. Yeah. There you go. You don't even have to watch it. Just let it play.
No, just let it play.
Please watch it. But
no, please watch it.
Yeah. Please. Okay.
Did we mention that we want you to watch it?
Now, without giving too much away about the ending, I wanted to ask you both about your relationship with social media. Now, how has it changed since finishing this docuseries?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's my the way I view social media is completely different now. I mean, at least personally for me. I don't know about you yet.
I've never been a huge fan of social media, but yeah. I would agree. My view has really been solidified now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think it, I just, we all pretend to be, you know, things that we're not and put on, you know, put on almost a shell of protection.
Right.
You know, on social media, we show people what we want them to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, you know, I'm trying to be a little bit more honest now on social media opposed to, you know, posting a good photo and not just, you know, yeah.
So that photo from the American Vandal red carpet was just,
what?
Just a good photo.
But no.
That's honest.
That,
you weren't like flashing?
No, I mean,
flexing a little.
I was proud. We'd been, you know, we're two kids and we worked really hard and here we are at our first premiere for one of our docuseries. Yeah, that was a really honest moment, you know.
Mm. Yeah, I posted it because it was cool.
You posted photos too.
Yeah, because it was, I wasn't being honest. I was like, yeah, look, this is sick. Okay. At least I'm honest about it.
Okay, it was a little bit of a showing off.
There we go.
That's okay. You've earned it, and I'm sure you both looked cute as can be.
Oh, thank you.
Cutie pies. Well, I think that's it. It's been an honor to have you two in the studio.
Thank you so much.
And again, we just want to remind everyone to watch season two, and can't wait to see what you guys do next.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was Lauren Lopez with Sam Eklund and Peter Maldonado. And now, let's hear from you. Here are some of the best social media reactions to season two of American Vandal.
Adithia04 suggests, if you've got a Netflix account and you're down for sheer tomfoolery, do yourself a favor and watch American Vandal.
This one is from @loudmouthjulia. Tip, if you report/write/think about the correlation between technology, the internet, social media, and pop culture, you absolutely need to watch American Vandal this Friday.
@TheCaneBrolinPonders, I spent all night thinking about it, and American Vandal really missed their opportunity to release season two on a Saturday.
If you want a dramatic reading of your reactions, share your thoughts and make sure to tag us. Just search for You Can't Make This Up. We're the ones with the blue check mark. You'll find us. Before we let you go, we've got one more treat for you. It's time for Whatcha Watchin', the segment where we find out what the people in the episode are watching on Netflix. Here are Lauren, Peter, and Sam.
I'm watching Wild Wild Country. I'm a huge fan, and would love to, hopefully one day, if we could partner with the team who made that and maybe make something together, I would.
That would be the dream team.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed. Oh, well, yeah. Sarah Koenig is the dream team. Oh. Always will be. But
of course.
Wild Wild Country is amazing. Highly recommend it.
I just watched Iron Fist. Which was good. Other than that, I've been watching a lot of movies. The Godzilla movies that they have are pretty cool. Blame. A lot of like anime shows, actually. Netflix has really good animation stuff.
Very cool. I've been watching Big Mouth, the cartoon.
Another great animation show.
It
love
is very yeah. sensual, which yeah. I enjoy. Yeah.
Definitely love Big Mouth.
Mm-hmm. And that's it for this special episode. Next week, we'll be back with our regularly scheduled programming. We'll be talking about the new original film, The Angel. As for this show, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this show. It boosts our status and our egos, but really it helps other people find the show. You Can't Make This Up is a production of Pineapple Street Media and Netflix. Our music is by Hansdale Sue. I'm Ashley Allman. Thank you for listening.